Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied richly to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. From today's Holy Gospel, someone said to Jesus, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." I'm guessing that just about all of us here today already have plans for what we're going to do for lunch today. Many of us will be going home and eating lunch at home. Others may be going to a favorite restaurant and eating out on Sunday lunch. After church, I am planning to meet my wife and her aunt in the dining hall of Dallas Retirement Village, where her aunt lives, to have lunch with her over there today. Now, how would you react to this scenario? Suppose that you're planning to go to one of your favorite restaurants, and it's a little bit of a drive away from here. As you drive, just before you get into the parking lot, a big bus pulls in right ahead of you and stops at the door of the restaurant, and about 70 people get out of the bus and go to fill all the seats in the restaurant. And you're outside, and the waitress says, "It'll be an hour to an hour and a half before we're able to seat you." How would you feel when they're all seated and you have to wait all that time and probably won't even be able to get in because they all got in ahead of you? Well, if you can imagine how you'd feel in that situation, then you might understand to a slight degree the sense of disappointment that Jesus says many people will feel on the last day when they're left outstanding outside of the kingdom of God. Their disappointment will be far greater than merely missing a meal. Their disappointment will be a loss that is so great that Jesus says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. Let's look today what Jesus says to you and me about the narrow door and the broad door so that we can understand and know that God does have a place prepared for us in his heavenly kingdom. Today's gospel begins with somebody in the crowd shouting out a question to Jesus, sort of the way reporters and people by the rope line shout questions out to political candidates, especially as we're entering this next 2 years of an election season. I guess it's down to a year and a half now. This man shouted, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" As I look at the different answers people try to give to that question today, I see two main and very opposite answers. The first, which is usually made by those who tend to identify themselves as being more broad-minded, is that in the end, everybody's going to end up in heaven, even those who rejected Christ and God and lived horrible lives. A while back, I read a survey taken by Protestant children, teens in Protestant churches, about what they thought about the uniqueness of the Christian faith. And most of those teens, about 75%, did not see anything special or unique about the Christian faith. To them, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, they're all pretty much equal. The survey showed that a majority of those church-going kids thought that everybody, whether they believe in Jesus or not, whether they're Christian or not, everybody is ultimately going to end up in heaven. On the other end of the spectrum, the different and opposite view is one that's taken by people today who are often seen as being more narrow-minded. In contrast to their broad-minded friends, these people often say that the people who belong to their particular group or their denomination are going to be saved. Maybe you've heard the story, the joke really, about a group of new arrivals in heaven. And St. Peter is giving them an orientation tour. In one room are the Roman Catholics, with a lot of Latin chanting and incense. Another room is the Assembly of God. They're praising God and waving their hands in the air. And then there's one room that Peter walks by. I said, be very quiet when we walk by this room. Because that is the room where the, and you can fill in the blank, Lutherans, Catholics, Baptists are. And they think they're the only ones up here, and we don't want to disillusion them. Well, the Jews of Jesus' day believed they were the only ones who were going to be up there. And what that man in the crowd shouted out to Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? He was testing Jesus to see if Jesus agreed with his narrow view that only good Jews would be in heaven. But Jesus knew that already in the Old Testament, God had declared his love for all people, for Gentiles, as well as Jews. In the writings of the prophet, plural, because in so many of the Old Testament prophetic books, God keeps telling the people of Israel that salvation can never be limited only to one group of people. In the last chapter of the great book of Isaiah, probably the greatest prophetic book of them all in the Old Testament, God told the people of Israel, the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. St. Paul echoes that truth in 1 Timothy 2, where he writes that God declares all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's hard for many people to really grasp how great and broad and wonderful God's love for all people truly is. But the Bible tells us that God is a God of unlimited love. The Bible tells us that God wants to throw open the doors of his heavenly mansions to everyone in the world, to people of every race and culture and color. A few verses further on in Luke 13, Jesus tells us that Gentiles as well as Jews will share the blessings of the heavenly kingdom. Jesus says people will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. But Jesus also speaks a word of warning in this text. He says, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Picture in your mind two different kinds of doors. A narrow door through which you can only pass single file, or a broad door that groups of people can walk through at one time. As many of you know, we lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the 1990s. And while we were there, Billy Graham held one of his last rallies in his long career as an evangelist. It was held at Three Rivers Stadium, the big downtown stadium where the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Pittsburgh Steelers both played at that time. That huge stadium had many entrances and many exits. And for the Billy Graham rally, they threw open all the doors on the entrances and on the exits so people could just walk in five or six at a time. And they could fill that, which they did, they filled that stadium of over 40,000 people to hear Billy Graham preaching. 2 weeks ago, the reason I wasn't here 2 Sundays ago is because we were in Santa Fe, New Mexico, visiting my daughter and her family. We went to a baseball game at the Albuquerque Isotopes. The atomic bomb was developed in Los Alamos, New Mexico. So they called their team the Isotopes. And when we went into that minor league stadium, we had to go single file through a turnstile and then through a metal detector before we could enter the stadium. Jesus says that is how we will enter God's kingdom, one at a time through a narrow door with a turnstile in it going through the narrow door. You see, we don't get to heaven just because we're part of a crowd or because we're Americans or because we're Lutherans or because our parents or grandparents were good Christians. God has no grandchildren. God has children. We're sons and daughters of God, but God has no grandchildren. The people of Israel, who thought they could be saved just because they were descendants of Abraham, Jesus says to them, not so. To many people, today many people think they've got an in with God because they are Lutherans or Baptists or Catholics or whatever. Not so, says Jesus. Salvation is not automatically given to anyone just because they are part of the crowd. God has no grandchildren. Salvation is God's gift for those who are his children through faith in Jesus Christ. God's gift to those who know him. And how do we come to know God? We know God the Father through his Son Jesus Christ, who reveals the Father to us. Apart from Jesus, I can know that there is a supreme being, but apart from Jesus, I cannot know who that supreme being is. Apart from Jesus, I can know that there is a judge of the universe, but apart from Jesus, I cannot know who that judge is. Apart from Jesus, I can know that there is an all-powerful ruler of the universe, but apart from Jesus, I cannot know who that all-powerful ruler of the universe is. Jesus reveals God to us and shows us who that supreme being is, that he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus shows us who that supreme judge of the world is, that he is the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus shows us who that all-powerful ruler of the universe is, that he is the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God reveals himself to us as our loving Father in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, he shows this, that he is a God who loves us so much that he's willing to sacrifice his only Son for us, so that through faith in him, we can receive forgiveness of sins and be reunited in a right relationship with our Father here in time and forever in eternity. That's why Jesus says here, strive to enter through the narrow door. He says the door to heaven is a narrow door. It's not a door that crowds just walk through five or six abreast. It's a door through which we pass one by one, single file, like through a turnstile. And what turns that turnstile so we can walk through the door? It's our faith in Jesus Christ. But that door to heaven can also be a closed door, closed to those who think that just because they have their names on the membership roster of a church, or because they are outwardly associated with a religious organization, or were at one time, they can just walk right through that narrow door and sashay in with the rest of the crowd. Jesus tells us that on the last day, those are the ones who will say to the Lord, Lord, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. You see, God has no grandchildren. But for us who know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, for us who were baptized into his name and live by faith in the Son of God, that door is an open door. The door in heaven is open because Jesus himself opened it for us. The door is open to everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ. That is why in our Lutheran church, Christ is the center of everything we think and say and do. He's a central theme of our sermons, our liturgy, and our hymns. Many of you who knew me when I was pastor here also know Susan's uncle, Pastor Walter Boss. He was pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Salem back in the 1950s. He preached here on his 90th birthday. He has since passed on to heaven. But he's been a mentor for me. He was one of my college professors, And he's been a mentor for me all through my ministry. Early in my ministry, he said something to me that has always stuck with me. He said to me, if you write a sermon and a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim could preach that sermon, then it is not a Christian sermon. What is it that makes Christianity different and unique from all other religions? Every other religion, Islam, Hindu, Buddhism, Muslim, they all are a do-it-yourself religion. You have to do it yourself. You have to do so many good works, so many acts of righteousness, display so much penitence to follow certain rules and regulations in order to be saved. But true Christianity is a religion that says, it has been done for you. Christ did it for you. He lived the perfect life for you and for me. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead for our salvation. And he will come again to bring us to be with himself forever. No, Christianity is not a do-it-yourself religion. It is a religion that says it has been done for you by Jesus Christ. That's why we preach Christ crucified, so that people will look to him in faith and follow him through that narrow door that leads to eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds secure in Christ Jesus through life everlasting. Amen.